If you could turn now your Bibles, please, to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1 and moving into chapter 2. For those who are visiting, for those who maybe missed a week or two, Zechariah, I know it's not the book that we're most familiar with in the Bible. It's a book of visions. Zechariah is a fairly young man, we think. Not exactly sure of his age, but he's a fairly young man, and God takes hold of him and begins to speak to him one night through a series of dreams, a series of visions. And visions are not something, I think, that we find hard to grasp as a concept. We live in an age that's very visual. Much of our lives is taken up with looking at screens. And that's what Zechariah, in some ways, doing here. God is speaking to him in the night, and then speaking through him to his people, and he's doing it not so much using words, but God is using pictures. He's displaying for Zechariah what he would have him see on various screens. And tonight, I'd like us to look at two screens, or two visions, and from that comes 2 points in application. And I'll just give you the 2 points to guide us in our thinking. The first point in application is we are encouraged through Zechariah and his first vision to lift up our heads and worship God. Lift up our heads and worship God. And the second vision that Zechariah has, the application that drops out from that vision, is an encouragement for us to lift up our tools and work. So that gives us the structure. First of all, then, the first vision from verse 18 through to the end of chapter 1. Lift up your heads and worship. What does Zechariah see in this vision? Well, there's really two things that I want to underline in this vision that Zechariah sees. He sees, first of all, 4 horns. And then he sees 4 craftsmen. 4 horns, first of all, verse 18. Then I looked up, says Zechariah, and there before me were 4 horns. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, it was an interpreting angel alongside Zechariah, that he's in conversation with, trying to understand these visions. So Zechariah, he asks the angel who was speaking to me, what are these? He answered me, these are the horns that scatter Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So we see these 4 horns. Now there's certain things in the Bible that we see repeatedly, and we know that there's significance in them. And horns in the Bible always speak about power. When we read about horns, we're seeing a code word for power. In Daniel, that we studied some time ago when we were still in the community centre, we saw that in the visions that Daniel had. We saw it actually on Wednesday evening in Psalm 92, I think it was, we were in. Horns are symbolic of power. And so Zechariah, he sees 4 horns. And the fact that there are 4 horns signifies that the 4 directions from which these hostile powers that were attacking God's people came from. The 4 horns, some of the commentators say, are the significant of the 4 points of the compass. And God's people were under attack from all directions. Assyria and Chaldea attacked them from the north, and Egypt attacked Judah from the south. The Philistines attacked them from the west. Ammon and Moab attacked God's people from the east. So what we see here is that God's people were under fire from all directions. That's what Zechariah was seeing in symbolic form in this vision. And that's what God's people had experienced and were experiencing. They were under attack. They were struggling. And you know, that's what God's people in a hostile world will always experience. Robert, who was with us this morning, he ventured into the scene. And we see it again in this vision. And we hear Jesus' words that we so often hear, that I so often say. Jesus says to his people, his disciples, as they're coming to him, he says, in this world you'll have trouble. Be aware of it. Ephesians 6 says, for our struggle, Paul's writing to the church of Christ, to Christian believers, and Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Zechariah was seeing what God's people were experiencing back then, and God's people have experienced over time in history, and God's people are still experiencing today, the fact that from all four directions there's trouble. There's struggle. There's attack. And the degrees to which you and I struggle vary, but that's what God's people have been told to expect as an experience. If we go to India tonight and we speak to brothers and sisters in Christ, they will tell us about this. In terms that we couldn't bear. We go to China tonight. We go to Pakistan. If we go to Iran, we go to Iraq, go to Turkey, go to parts of Nigeria, go to Syria, go to Thailand, go to Egypt. The list is almost endless. That's their experience. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're struggling. Because there is a spiritual warfare, there is spiritual attack. Now, if that's your experience this evening in your own personal walk, if you feel at present not a sense of peace, but a sense of being under spiritual pressure, don't be discouraged by that. The devil will try and discourage us with that. But don't be discouraged when you come under spiritual attack. Be encouraged, because this is evidence in part of the fact that we belong to God. Let me say conversely, if this is not our experience, if we know nothing of this spiritual struggle, if we know nothing of a struggle and the pressure that comes spiritually upon us, then, well, maybe it's because God, for a season, is shielding us in his mercy. Maybe. But maybe it's because we're not being bold enough in speaking about Jesus. Take that on board. I need to take that first. Robert said that this morning, where God is blessing, I can't say that, he said, won't try. Where God is blessing, the devil is messing. He says, if we don't feel the pressure of the devil against us on our walk, he said, maybe it's because we're traveling the same direction as the enemy. And we need to take that on board. Sometimes as a church, when things are quiet and settled, often we take that as a good sign. It's not always a good sign. Sometimes when all is peaceful and the world is not attacking and the devil seems to have gone quiet, sometimes it's a sign that we're not reaching out with the gospel. day by day in the places that God has put us, we're not reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ as boldly as we should be. God has blessed us. He's given us many gifts, even what we stand in. It's a gift from God. A place where we can come in and worship Him, and a place from which we can go out with the gospel and encourage more people to come in and hear about Jesus. See, when we go out and we have that zeal and determination to win souls for Christ, the devil reacts. And we feel the horn of Satan against us, as God's people did in 520 BC. Four words. The second thing we see in this vision, it's four craftsmen. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. I asked, what are these coming to do? He answered, these are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could raise his head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter his people. So there's the four horns that speak about the oppression against God's people and the fear that was instilled within them because of it. But then Zechariah has shown the four craftsmen. Someone said to me in the course of the last week, there's good news and there's bad news. What do you want first? And I took bad news first. I always take the bad news first. And Zechariah, in this vision, he's given the bad news that he already knew first. And God showed him the ugliness of the four horns. But then he quickly shows him the beauty of the four craftsmen who were coming. You know, it's the bad news which makes the good news all the more compelling. And that's how God works. Now, sometimes we encounter slick salespeople. They never give us the bad news. They just give us the good news. They don't give us reality. They just give us a sales pitch. God doesn't give us a sales pitch. He doesn't gloss over spiritual reality. He tells us plainly about the battles that we'll find ourselves in. He shows us our sin in a way that drives us to an end of ourselves. He shows us the enemy who comes at us to destroy us. He doesn't hide the bad news from us, but he doesn't leave us to sink into despair. He quickly takes us from the bad news into the good news. He shows us our sin in order to lead us into salvation. He shows Zechariah the four horns, but he quickly shows him the four craftsmen that would come to throw down these horns. It's an interesting term, craftsman. Has anyone here got an authorised version of the Bible? Father Kirk. Father Kirk, what's the word for craftsman in the authorised version? Verse 20. Carpenters. See, in the authorised version, the word that's used, translated, that the NIV takes as craftsmen, it's carpenters. That should get our minds going, I think. That should get our hearts stirring. You know, when we think about the term, it's a peculiar term. When God's people are terrorized by these four horns, we expect that God might send hunters or warriors to attack and to crush these horns of power. But no, the Lord shows Zechariah four craftsmen, four carpenters who are going to come and cause the four horns to be cast down. Where does your mind go when you hear the word carpenter? Does your mind go anywhere when you hear the term carpenter? I think it should be. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Remember when they saw Jesus? They say, isn't this the carpenter? Jesus came. He was the carpenter from Nazareth. So what are we seeing here in this vision? Well, I think we're seeing some 520 years before Christ came into the world, the gospel beginning to be foreshadowed. I think Zechariah is getting a glimpse into the cosmic battle that Jesus the carpenter was about to set him into. See, the devil, his horn had caused people's heads, God's people's heads, to drop, verse 21. So when Zechariah sees them, when he sees God's people at this point in history, their heads are down. Why does the devil want God's people not to raise their heads, verse 21? Well, the devil wants God's people not to raise their heads so that they won't look to God. So that they won't lift their eyes to the hills to see the one who made the hills. So they won't seek God's face. So they won't see God's face. So they won't see his glory. So they won't worship him. So they'll lose their courage. So they'll be terrified and immobilized. And that's where God's people had been. Heads down. Like a defeated army. Heads down like a football team that's losing 10-0. But Zechariah is being shown, when defeat seems to have settled upon God's people, Zechariah is being shown that the carpenter will come to lift our drooping heads, so that we will see the glory of God in the face of Christ, and we will worship him. Zechariah is being shown that the carpenter will come, and he will work not so much in the darkness of night visions, but he will work in the darkness of Calvary. And the work the carpenter will do will not be so much a work of taking something and making it out of wood, but the work the carpenter will do will be to hang on a cross of wood to make an end of all of our sins. And yes, he will suffer. His heel will be bruised. But in doing so, he will crush the horn. He will crush the head of the serpent. And he will secure for God's people eternal victory. And Zechariah was seeing these things in small measure. But tonight, we see these things clearly in Christ. The carpenter who was foretold, who was foreshadowed here, he did come. The work of salvation that was so necessary, that he came to do, is finished. The victory that was promised has been won. John 22. He has done it. The horn has been thrown down once and for all, and God's people, who are so terrified and so oppressed, are eternally safe in Christ. And so as we see Christ tonight, as I pray we are, as we see Christ tonight, as we survey his wondrous cross, she'd fill with courage and joy. And we should lift up our heads and worship. And we should lift up our voices in praise. Are you feeling defeated tonight? Are you feeling cast down? Are you feeling like we're under attack to the point that we just can't survive it? Don't be discouraged by that. It's what God's people were seeing and experiencing and always will for as long as we are in time. But Christ came. And he is the one who calls us to lift up our heads and worship. That's the first vision, it's the first point. I think it's as much as we're able to cope with tonight. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these visions. We thank you for the point that is forward to Jesus. And we thank you that all that was foretold did come to pass. We thank you that although your people in Israel on that day were so much under pressure, so oppressed, so hard pressed, they were not defeated and crushed. But the Saviour who was promised did come. And we thank you that the promise that we are given is that if we trust in him, then we share in the eternal victory that he has won for us at Calvary. We know the reality of spiritual struggle in our own hearts. We feel sometimes the hostility of the world and the devil against us in our daily experience and our living in time. And yet we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And you will never leave us nor forsake us. We see, Lord, the effects of sin in us and around us. We struggle, Lord, to come to terms with the disappointments and the pain that we endure in this world. And even as we come to terms with loss and grief and death, these things are so real and they are so painful. But we thank you that Jesus came to wage war with the enemy of our soul, to wage war against death, to save us from hell, and to give us the assurance of a place in heaven, a place where there is no pain and no suffering and no struggling, because there is no sin, no enemy of our soul. A place where you are with your people. And each one of us who are in Christ is able to look in wonder, love, and praise at our Saviour. To enable us, Lord, we pray, to in time look in faith to Jesus, so that we will have the assurance that in eternity we will see the wonder and the beauty of his glory in all fullness, and that we will be with him, and we will even be like him. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.